Do you want to be better in business or life? Do you want to be able to execute and succeed? You must have a positive mindset. You must believe and stay focused. Do you know what it takes? It takes fuel. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive.
All right, welcome to Fuel Your Drive. I'm your host, Josh York. As you know, this podcast is about purpose. It's about giving listeners behind-the-scenes insight to some of the most successful entrepreneurs and practices and some of the keys to their success. So without further ado, guys, we have the most amazing guest today. This man is a marketing master. Let me tell you something. You know I bring the heat, but my man Billy, who I'm about to introduce you to, he takes this stuff to a whole nother level with over 300 million views of his content. This guy, the reason I like him so much and the reason I sent him a tire, which we could touch on later, is this guy is real. He likes to have fun. He likes to put it out there. I've been saying this all the time. You have to be exciting and not be normal. That's how you move the needle. So without further ado, Billy, say what's up. Bring us some heat. Let's go, baby.
Woo! Dude, I mean, the energy is like prolific. I feel it's contagious. I always talk to people about that. Energy is contagious. Like your introduction right there makes me feel better. I like came out of a meeting and so my energy was kind of low, but then you immediately, I have to match your energy now. So I appreciate that. And thank you for the kind words. And then, yeah, our ads have now been seen almost 500 million times. I had to correct that.
There we go. Look at that. 300 million, 500 million. Listen, the man is the man. He's the man. The number doesn't matter, just like your age doesn't matter. So 500 million views.
Yeah.
Billy, give him a little intro. Give him some heat. Tell him a little bit about you. Tell him a little about your story, you know, because look, when I started really doing some research on you, I was like, man, this guy's great. I was like, this guy knows how to run a business. He's smart. He's got the culture. He gets it. People don't get it. And I've been mentored by some of the best in the world. And I'm just getting really heavy now in social media. I've been hibernating for a long time, but like, yeah. I've been watching you and I like you. So tell a little bit of people about your background, a little bit about your story. Let's start off there.
Yeah. So this is probably everyone's like least favorite part about the interview, right? When the people are like talking about this, so I'll keep it short and simple. Like regular kid,
yep.
Born and raised in San Diego. Both my parents grew up on welfare. So I had interesting things, but I went to private Catholic school my whole life. So I had this very different perspective on the world with someone like the wealthiest people, but also knowing what it's like to have nothing. I mean, I'm somewhere in the middle of that, you know, and then after college, I had a mobile oil change company that failed. Long story short, I ended up at this online school making 600 cold calls a day. I saw the power of online education, said I want to get into this space myself. And then I started learning about Facebook ads. And longer story short, I started an ad agency. So people give me money when they want customers, period. And that's what it is. And then that turned into, hey, nobody understands how to actually use social media to make money. And then we started teaching people and building out our own school.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I heard a story somewhere about you that, you know, your parents are like, Billy, what are you playing video games in your room? But my man was cooking up something. He was in the kitchen. He was cooking. Yeah. Billy, tell him about that. Because look, I used to drive around in my car and I was almost depressed. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And we run the fastest growing franchise right now in the world. And I know you're the best when it comes to marketing. Like, hands down, drop a mic. You're the best.
Thank you.
Tell everybody how you've taken that to where you are now and get a little deep into it, because people don't understand when you look at the finished product. People think, you know, all the great things and all everything, whether it's ostentatious, whatever it is. To talk about the beginning.
I did it. When I say like it's pretty uneventful, it's just relatable in a sense of like, I didn't like look. People start companies now and you hear everybody talking about like purpose, right? In this stage of my life, that is important to me. But then it wasn't. I was just trying to move out of my parents' house. I remember specifically like going out and meeting people, or you like go out and you meet a girl and they're like, oh, hey, like, where do you live? And I'm like, oh, over here. And they're like, oh, who you live with? And I'm like, you know, yeah, with my roommates. They're great. They're cool. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like that embarrassment and the shame, because at the University of San Diego, most of my guys, they were out and they were like accountants and like something in financials and six figures and like, you know, owning a home. And here I was saying, well, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm gonna do this route, not making any cash. First company fails, end up checking in people at 24-hour fitness, move back in with my parents' house, embarrassed as hell. My parents are, they know nothing about computers. This is not the world, right? So when I'm upstairs on the computer working on this company, and again, it's more popular and accepted now. It wasn't as accepted a decade ago, you know, 8 years ago. And so they're just like, yo, what the fuck are you doing upstairs? And I've played video games my whole life. So my parents associate me being upstairs quiet with me playing video games. So my mom was always like, get your, like, go get a job. That was the whole thing. I'm like, I have a job. My job is being an entrepreneur. Stop telling me to go get a fucking job. But like, obviously I never said it to my mom. I'm like, yeah, you're, you know, you're going to say that. Yeah. But like, it was frustrating, man. It was like, it was really, you know, it was difficult because friends, you know, your closest people are talking about you behind your back. Like, come on, man, get a job. Your parents, like, they love me, but they didn't get it. So, and they weren't accustomed to that. They weren't entrepreneurs. So no, you feel really misunderstood. And when you said the word depressed earlier, I think a lot of that depression is associated with loneliness because you feel not understood. You feel not accepted. You feel, you even question your own path because you don't have the result. So all you have is a hope that shit gets good, but you know what I mean? So that was the 100% the real beginnings.
100%. 100%. Well, listen, so something I really like, and it's obviously, you know, apparent, but your culture is great. Just like our culture is great. You got a great culture. You're real. I see how you interact. And I know it's real. It's not like, I know it's not like BS. Like I watch it, but I know it's real. So how did you really know that? Because I always say you got to be real. Like I would be real with my children or I'd be real with my wife. Yeah. You got to be real with your team too. But how did you know about that going into business, being able to build such a great culture? Because my belief is, look, if you don't surround yourself with great people, you're not moving the needle, number one. And number two, if you don't create an atmosphere, like a lifestyle instead of a job, you're not going anywhere. So why don't you touch on that a little bit?
You're 100% right, man. Like the answer, I wish it was like some wise shit, but it wasn't. It was probably more so a fear. Let me explain. So when I first decided, like, I'm going to do this ad agency thing, one, I didn't decide I was going to do ad agency. I was just good at using Facebook ads because of some work I did. And then, you know, when I would talk to clients, they'd say, oh, you're an ad agency. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is an ad agency? Sure, whatever. Like, okay, cool. And I had this title. And then when I started to get clarity, I'm like, hey, I could use this Facebook ads thing to help businesses. Like, let me try that. And I was like 23, was black and still black, didn't graduate college. I didn't go to my last class. And now my job was to sell to 40-year-old white guys that graduated college that probably were way more professional in the traditional sense than me. I had all sorts of limiting beliefs about like how I was supposed to show up, how I was supposed to be. And I told myself all these stories that they're never going to take me seriously. I cursed like a sailor. I didn't graduate college. You know, I didn't have a ton of experience at the time. So I didn't really believe very much in myself. And so, but I needed money. And so one thing I learned early is that with all of those things that I thought were going to hold me back, the only color that they really cared about was green. Can this guy deliver fucking results? And as I started to get really good at delivering results, because I felt like I had to, because I felt like I had all these other things that were holding me back. So I had to be three times better than everybody else. And so I got obsessed with just fucking making more money. So when they hired me, I delivered such good results. I was like, dude, I can be this, I can be that. It doesn't matter. You're still going to rock with me. So I learned that it was okay to be myself as long as you can deliver on what you're saying. Right. And it's okay to be yourself forever, even if you're not. But that was what kind of like, I guess I accepted it and realized like, holy shit. And then you also realize white, black, young, old, everybody is the same, right? Like I had this idea of like this corporate thing, but like I've had many a beers with like people who I thought would be this stuck up, stuffy person. They're just cool as hell with similar background. So my mind started to open. And then I realized something, the more I was actually myself, the more people would want to work with me. And so it was the result that dictated to me and said, you know what, Billy, it's okay to really just let loose and be yourself. And then in addition to that, as a person, one of my core values is having fun. I like to have fun. I was social chair in my fraternity. Like I talk a lot of shit. I go out. Like I like to do cool shit. So when I started hiring people, I didn't even know about it. I wasn't building a culture. I just was hiring people that I liked to work with. Because the one thing I would never do is bring in somebody. Yeah, it was like I wasn't going to bring in somebody that I didn't fucking like. Because then at that point, what's the point of having a company? So I actually went out and I realized at the time that nobody really understood this thing about Facebook advertising at the time. No one knew about it. So no matter who I hired, I was going to have to train. And the people that did know, I couldn't afford to pay them. So I'm like, well, shit, if I'm going to start from scratch, let me get obsessed with people that I like. So I started hiring them one by one, people that vibe with me. And we realized something. As soon as work was done, we'd hang out after work. And so it was this natural thing. And that became the core of the foundation. So then when outside people would come to our office or my house at the time where we were working and they would meet us, they'd be like, man, you guys really get along so well. And I'm like, yeah, dude, because I just hired a bunch of people I'm fucking cool with. Right. And it's evolved a little bit now, but that's been the foundation of like our number one thing, even though it's not always like the most traditional like business way to do it, is fucking hire people that you really enjoy. Because at the end of the day, people stick around because they fucking like to work. They like to hang out with their friends. Like, it's just that. So we're obsessed with that, actually bringing in people that we fuck with.
You are very smart, man. You get me fired the hell up. And I listen, I don't drink coffee, man. I'm always fired up. You get me amped up, man. It's funny. Listen, I always tell people the number one question I ask myself, is would I have this person over my house for dinner? If the answer is no, I don't move forward. And the second thing I do is you have to send me a 30-second video clip. Everyone does it. I need to see your personality. I share it with the whole team. Guys, what do you think? If we're not smiling, laughing, doesn't work. I don't care if they're a Harvard grad. I don't care if they're some superstar. I don't care if they built some mega business. If you affect that and put the cancer in that culture, it's not going to work. And it's spot
on. You're
1,000%
right, man. And so I think that's been the shift is in the beginning, because I talked to like all the new hires and stuff, I was able to like have that sort of filter. And then I realized like, as I'm busy and our team's growing company and I don't get to meet everybody or spend time with them, it can't just be like our opinions. It has to actually be something written down. And that's where core values really come into play. So people think of core values as this mystical creature, right? Of like, well, I don't really need core values. Dude, core values is basically saying, if you read this, you're going to love this. Or if you read this, you're going to hate us. So like one of our core values is don't make excuses, make it happen. One of our core values is everything is your fault. In other words, we take accountability. If somebody sees that, it's like, dude, everything is not my fault. The world beat me up, make excuses. You're not going to fucking fuck with us here. Tell the fucking truth all the fucking time. Laughing is not an option. It's the requirement. These are our core values that are written on the wall when you come into our office. So that's kind of like the guiding purpose to hire people now to see if they fit. And you're completely right about the video. We also require video to see their personality. And also, it's amazing how many people just won't do it because it's too much work. Like, I have to send a video. I don't want this job. It's like, exactly, motherfucker. We don't want you either. Like,
exactly. It's just that simple. Listen, so if my wife hears me saying this, she gets mad at me all the time, but we got to touch on this because I'm with you 100%. But see, I think school is a total waste of time. Okay. I think it's horrible. I think it's a waste. Listen, I'm telling everyone right now, I know Billy likes to say buy his stuff. You really should, because see, if I was running school, the first class you need to learn is how to build relationships. The second class is culture. The third class is how do you move the needle? Look, school teaches you nothing. I remember taking music classes and all this crap I took, which was the biggest waste of time and waste of money. They don't teach you how to actually move the needle unless you're going to be, let's say, a lawyer or a doctor. But talk a little bit about that, because what you're doing is smart. I love it. I'm a fan of it. Let's touch on that a little bit.
You mean, it actually came from like a needs-based thing. And so, you know, when I was at the University of San Diego, I told you like earlier, both my parents, I grew up on welfare. And so, you know, I remember sitting junior year in a finance class and one of the professors says, hey, like everybody raise your hand if like you're investing in like stock market or like anything like that. And it was amazing how many people raised their hand, almost everybody. And I looked around and I left class because I was so intimidated because I didn't even really know what the stock market was. I had no idea. I never had a conversation about it in my life. Nobody in my life ever talked about it. It's not a thing. When you're raised around people who are like focused on surviving, you know, and like it's just not a conversation that we've had the privilege to have. And so I got fucking scared of shit and I left that class and I never went back to it. But I just remember that feeling that it gave me of like, holy shit, man, like I feel like there's a different language that people know that I don't know. And then when I started my first business out of college, I thought like, you know, I went to this really good school, like I'll be prepared. Like, and I didn't graduate. I didn't finish my last class, but I went to all the rest of the 4 years. So I should have been good. And then when I started this business, I realized I didn't know anything. Like I didn't even know what documents I needed to file to actually become a company. I didn't know the difference between, you know, and like a new level of like a sole proprietorship or an LLC or an S corporation, like, you know, and I remember, I think those terms were in the book. Like that wasn't a class. I wasn't talking about it. I had no idea how to get my first customer because in the marketing textbooks, all they talked about was, you know, promotion and like, you know, the four P's and all this other shit. But I had no idea what that actually meant. And then luckily Groupon just came out. So I was able to get out of it, but none of it made sense. Lifetime value of a customer, acquiring a customer, sales, how to sell to the masses, how to sell via webinars, how to make video ads that sell shit, how to create all of the things that actually move the needle. Then I realized something. Oh, most of these good educational schools that are ranking themselves very highly are great if you're going to have a Fortune 1,500 company. Because now as my company has grown and scaled and we're doing, you know, multi-million dollars in that eight-figure shit, now we realize that a lot of that stuff in college actually is useful. There was some stuff, but guess what? Who the fuck gets there? Less than 1%. And most of the ones that had the less than 1%, guess what? They had funding. They had a board of advisors. But for motherfuckers like me, Like, motherfuckers like you, like, we, it was like, what? None of this shit, like, none of it made sense. So that was the gap, man. That was the passion behind the education. It wasn't like, oh, there's this opportunity for education. It was bridging the gap, because I know there's a lot of people like me who are wondering, where the fuck do you learn this? And then in addition to that, they priced the shit, you know, $200,000 that you pay back for 30 to 50 years. And it's just crazy. And so, again, college for certain fields makes sense. If you're going to an accountant, you're going to work at the Big Four, Ernst & Young, and all these things and be in that field, maybe. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be an attorney. That's fine. If you want to start a business, go find a person who already has the business that you want and fucking study under them for 3 years and knock the other bullshit out. Knock the other bullshit out. 100%. Because it's crazy.
100%. Listen, here's my philosophy. If I'm trying to start a business and this professor, so-called professor, is a business professor, let me see your bank account. I want to see your bank account. I want to see how
successful. That's a real thing.
Yeah. I want to see how successful you are. You're telling me you're a success? Listen, come on. I see these people driving out, of, you know, being professors driving out in old beat up cars, and they're telling me they know how to teach me a class on how to scale. Come on. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's
it's crazy.
It is. And that's my philosophy, you know. But so listen, something else I always talk about a lot is you got to give to get. I know in the early days, I heard you talk about it. You did a lot of free stuff, which is smart.
Yeah.
I tell people, just work for someone for free. Do something for free. Show your value. Prove your value. Touching that a little bit, because it's spot on, man.
It's like I figured out early on, because of situations like the one I explained with school, but I tried to figure out, like, why do some people make money and why do some people not? Like, in a simplistic way, not some, like, let's look at the economics and sociology and, like, you know, even though things are a factor, but what's happening at the core? And it was this, skills. And I define a skill as the ability to do something that others cannot, or they just really don't want to do, but mostly they can't do. So, for example, if you or I drops down, has a heart attack right now, right? Or you get shot in the leg, something like that, and you got to go to the hospital. We pay doctors a premium because I love you, but bro, what the fuck am I? I can't help you. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Yep.
I don't have the skill to do that. If one of us gets into legal trouble, hey, I got your back, but I cannot defend you because I do not have the skill to do that. And what people mess up in the entrepreneur world is they think they can have success without acquiring the skills, the ability to do what others can't. And then I want people to think about that. Both of those doctors and attorneys, they're high earning professions, because there's so few of them. But what people sleep on is what they had to do to acquire those skills. They sleep on the fact that to become a physician, it took them literally a decade and $350,000 of debt, and they're going to be paying off loans till 50. Now, in the entrepreneur world, you'll watch one episode of Shark Tank, buy one course for $300 and think that you have earned the skill set to justify demanding that money. And that's the fucking game. The bigger the problems you can fucking solve, the more money that you can fucking demand. And so that's,
I
like,
say this once is every day,
but it's real, right? And it's, but once you really get it. And so now, like, I look at, like, my income and I look at my, like, my skill set now versus 8 years ago. And now you can literally give me any business under the sun and you give me 72 hours, a max a week, and I'll be able to create an advertiser that drives fucking sales to the business. And I can literally see them make more money as a result of fucking working with me. And as a result of that, I can charge a percentage. That's the math. It's just very simple. I can solve a problem that most people cannot. And to do that, you guys, you have to invest into your fucking skill. This, you hear it all the time. Like, it's between here what makes your money. And it sounds cliche. But when you think about that, like, watch this. I'll give you another example for everybody at home. Everyone's like, oh my God, this guy is just dribbling a basketball. Why would LeBron James make so much money? Because he's literally the only person on the planet that can do what he does. And therefore, he charges money that nobody else on the planet does. The end. So ask yourself right now, if you're listening to this podcast, what the fuck can you do that somebody else can't, or that most people can't, or better than most people are? And I guarantee you that question is directly correlated with your bank account. No question. And then if you're in the few buckets of, well, guess what, motherfucker, Billy, I actually do have skills and da da da. Then you know what you're missing? The ability to sell. And no problem, because school didn't teach you that. So if you have skills and you're like, I do have skills, then you don't have sales, because there's no one with both skills and the ability to sell that is broke. Doesn't work like that.
100%. 100, dude, spot on. This kind of segues into the next part, which is perfect. I always talk about being uncomfortable in order to get comfortable. And just like you didn't know what you were doing in the early days, I didn't know what I was doing. Look, I literally tell my franchisees, if you can go into a supermarket that's packed and start singing any song on the top of your lungs in front of everyone, and you're cool with that and you have no problem, you will crush it in sales because you're able to be uncomfortable and get comfortable. So talk a little bit, because I see your videos. I see what you put out there. Most people can't do it. Look, I'll dress up as a chicken. I don't care what I'll do. Like, you can watch some of our stuff. I'll do it all. But it's so important, because just like you touched on earlier when you said, like, wow, I realized, like, when I'm actually, like, hanging out with these people and being cool and having these relationships, I was becoming more successful because you're being real and you're having fun. Mm-hmm. So touch a little bit about on that whole uncomfortable component, because, look, you're obviously really have sharpened your tools over the years compared to where you were in the beginning. So talk about that evolution a little bit and how you kind of shift in to helping your team.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. It's like, in the same way, you give the example, if you go to the supermarket and you sing, like, you're going to kill it. I always have the most empathy and the biggest heart for anybody who's ever done door-to-door sales. And like, for example, my daughter's 3. Guess what she'll be doing from like 5 to 10, maybe even like the start now? Door-to-door sales. It's the most uncomfortable thing ever. You're going to someone's house. You're completely in their face. They're likely going to reject you. They're likely going to be really irritated, roll their eyes, et cetera. And so a lot of people who aren't comfortable with those things, I think the biggest thing to realize is, like, being uncomfortable actually takes practice, because some of them may look like yourself or me and they go, well, those guys are just like that. Da, da, da. I can't do something like that. Well, you can't right now, but I promise you, if you start practicing and embracing rejection, you will grow tremendously, because it's really just about the experiences that you've had. So think about this. If, you know, like, do weird shit, like, you know, make yourself uncomfortable. Like, the fun exercises, like, one thing a day, every time you go into a store, like a Starbucks or a gas station or whatever, go up to the teller and say, hey, can I have $5? And you're like, that's embarrassing. I would never ask that. Like, da da da. Like, ask that.
You sound like Billy. You sound like me, man. These are things I say. Like, I say stuff like this.
Because we're cut from the same cloth, you know? But, like, do 100%. Weird shit. And people, like, don't understand. Like, that's the practice. Or, like, ask somebody an uncomfortable question that you would never ask. Like, the thing you're like, oh my God, I would never do that. I would never practice those micro things. And what you find is, like, you didn't die. And most of the time, you actually end up getting a desired result. So I'll take, like, my team, for example. So my back office, like HR and stuff, they're very, like, type A personality, et cetera. They're not crazy about, like, sales and negotiating. So let's say, like, I'm having an event, right? And the vendors gave us a certain price. Something that I make them do is negotiate. Even if I'm cool with the price, da, 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 I always make them do it. So they're like, hey, it's 20 grand for this event. I was like, okay, cool. Tell them we can only do 10. And she goes, Billy, I can't do that. No way. Like, you see it. Like, she, like, tense up and da, da, da. I said, I know. Go ahead and ask them. And this is everything. If it's at the store, da, 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 da. And sure enough, every single time in those cases, the person comes down and they negotiate. So she's starting to have the belief that, like, yeah, I should always ask. And it's starting to transfer into her life, like, personally. And it wasn't like this overnight thing. It was just like, eventually when you see something happen so many times and you do something, you don't give a fuck anymore. And you like the desired results. So you keep going. It's practice.
Practice makes permanence. That's what I like to say. You got to perfect that craft, to sharpen that tool, to make it permanent. None of this practice makes perfect nonsense. It makes permanence.
I like that.
I like
that a lot.
Over and over and over again. It's just repetition, just like anything else, you know? And that's what I tell people. But listen, I know you got a hard stop soon and I want to wrap up soon, but listen, I want to talk about, I know you put the video out there and I loved it, but I want you to give me that reaction when you opened up that box and I sent you a tire. Look, I know you're a marketing guy and I'm a marketing guy too. And I send a lot of those tires out, but let's talk about that because I love that reaction, man.
So to me, it was immediately acknowledging that we would get along. That was probably my first reaction, because you get it. It's like, you understand, to get a different result, you got to do something different. And everyone's heard the fucking expression. You know, if you try the same thing, you know, 99 times, like, and expect a different result, that's insanity. Like, everyone's heard that quote, but everybody still tries the same shit. So, and this is, I say this humbly and it's very cool, but we get a lot of stuff sent to our office, right? Like, people drop off stuff, like cookies, like fucking letters, gifts, like stickers, pictures, like you name it. A tire? A fucking tire? Like, what? What kind of strange? What kind of different? What kind of weirdo? Me. That's who. Someone like fucking me who gets it. That understands that to get the, like, think about being in the 1% of financial success, right? You want to make more money than, if you walk into a room of 100 people, you're the only person who's got it like that. Like, if you want to be that much of an outlier, that much of a weirdo, you got to do weird shit. And so, yes, out of 100 people who sent stuff, guess who sent a tire? One person right here. And now we're having this moment, right? And like hopped on the phone and da-da-da. I was like, immediately, just you did the one thing that the 99 wouldn't. And if someone can just obsess with that and ask yourself in any scenario something that you really want, you want the guy, you want the girl, but what's the one thing that the 99 other people that are pursuing this person are going to do, right? You want to land a contract. You want the proposal. What's the one thing that the other 99 aren't going to do? What's the weird thing that I can do? What's the different thing that I can do? And if you can figure that the fuck out, you're fucking golden.
100%. And listen, it's funny because I talk about, you know, we're just touching on this whole uncomfortable thing. Listen, if you would have seen the reaction, look, I shipped about 20 tires out. And everyone responded except one person. And you noticed one person. I'm going to throw him out there. My man, Andy Priscilla, did not respond to that tire. And I'm pissed about it. But we're going to connect him and I. But anyway, he doesn't know how I roll yet. But anyway, you know, look, Ed Milet responded. I can go through the list of everyone who responded.
He's a big car guy too, though, right? Like, he has his own, like, race cars and shit. So, like, maybe a tire for him wasn't his thing. You know what I mean? Because he might get a tire. You know what I mean?
He might. It's true. But anyway, but the point is, if you would have seen the reaction of the woman working at the store when I was walking in with, because I was coming to like 20 tires and like I'm a little twisted, as you know, just like you're with me. I wouldn't leave the store. Yeah. I had to make sure. Yeah, I had to make sure I was propped up. I had to make sure I was stuffed properly. The note had to be facing up. And this woman's like, sir, we're going to take care of it. I go, listen, I'm sorry. I have to stay here. And she was getting nasty. You know, typical person that doesn't like their job, miserable. I literally was in there for 3 hours waiting. And then finally she's like, well, she wanted to get me out. But like, all that effort just to ship out the tire that I spent $300 on, that's the difference. I'm willing to do that. Most people are not.
Yep.
That's why I push myself, whether it's with my workout, whatever it is.
You just noted something big that I think a lot of people would sleep on too, is right there, is in that moment, you're like, she was getting nasty, da-da-da-da-da, but it wasn't like she was so mean. It was like, she's just a person in her job that's unhappy, da-da-da, and you understood that it wasn't personal. And I think that's a big part of like the discomfort things, is understanding that like, it's not that like when you realize that like everybody acts accordingly to them and it's not you, you start to have empathy towards these people. And when they're getting upset or they say nasty things, you just want to hug them instead or like laugh about it because you understand. And so that's a big shift right there.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, so, you know, look, the last thing I like to always finish off with is, and look, you guys are going to be seeing a lot more from me and Billy. I'm feeling good vibes here. So I know we're going to be making some magic happen together, but Billy, tell me one thing that you would have asked if you were doing this interview. What did I miss? What is something you would ask that we could drop some knowledge?
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question. Watch this. We're talking about different and stuff before. That was a question that I've never gotten ever. I've done a lot of interviews. I've never gotten that. So I guess following that, seeing my reaction to that is probably more shit that like nobody would ever ask before. Because everything's tied to business, right? So like shit that like most people wouldn't think in entrepreneurial space. But for me, so I'm a very like direct, uncomfortable shit. So I like asking the questions that like nobody would have the balls to. Like, so if I'd like talk to somebody and they have like a big deal that just happened, I'm like, how much was that big deal? And they're like, oh, I can't talk about it. And I said, tell my audience right now how much motherfucking money was like that, those little things. And you have such a personality for it, you know, but I mean, honestly, it was great. I had fun. Thank you for having me.
Listen, a lot of people are going to see this. It's exciting. Look, thank you so much for your time, Billy. I appreciate it. Guys, make sure you tune in. Let everyone know where they can find you, Billy. Let them know about your business. You and I are going to talk about that as well, but you can let everyone know where they can find you.
Sure. BillyGeneIsMarketing.com. Just check out our website, G-E-N-E, or follow us on Instagram. And once you go to our website, we will retarget you with advertisements forever. Appreciate you guys.
And guys, literally buy his courses. I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you, buy this man's courses. I'm not just saying this to say it. I'm being real. You know I'm authentic. You know I'm real. His stuff will really help you. He knows what he's doing. Guys, thank you so much. Take care. Until next time, fuel your drive.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.